Good evening, everyone, and welcome to tonight's planning meeting, which is being held on Monday, the 5th of March 2018 at 6 p.m. in the Exmouth Town Hall. Before I start the meeting, can I just make three announcements? Firstly, can you all make sure your mobile phones are switched off? Secondly, if there's anybody that is hard of hearing, there are headsets available. So if you do need to have a headset, can you please make yourself known to the Deputy Town Clerk? And we'll sort out your needs. And thirdly, just in case, or should there be a fire, can I just let you know that all the doors will release and you need to leave the building, going through these double doors, turn to your left and down through the fire escape, down to the stairs where you meet at the bandstand. Okay, thank you very much.
Would you like to come and sit in
right there? Right, apologies for absence. I think we're all here. I think we have a full town planning meeting. Thank you. Now move to the public speaking section of the meeting. I have two members that wish to speak in respect of application 18/03/76 Major Full Car Park off Queen's Drive with the construction of the new water sports centre. Can I ask members if they are happy that I take this item as the first item on the agenda rather than where it is at the present time? All those in favour?
Madam Chairman, when we come to take the final vote, can I request we have a recorded vote?
Thank you. Have we a seconder for that, please?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you.
And before we do that, we've got to...
I'll do that. No, it's okay. So we're moving to the public speaking sections where we have the representations ahead of the discussion that we have by councillors for this application. Members of the public wishing to make an oral representation can speak for up to 3 minutes. Can I remind members that wish to speak on any application that it is important that you restrict your comments to planning considerations only and not to any other matters that you wish to make. And also, it would be helpful if the speakers didn't repeat the person before so that we get most of the points within your 3 minutes rather than have the same points repeated. So we have two speakers this evening on the application, I've already said. And the first speaker is Nick Hookway, please.
Do you want to use the microphone?
Can you use that one there?
Sorry?
You can use that one, that's fine.
Yeah. You just press the button. Thank you.
Right, thank you. I'm objecting. This planning application represents a major threat to Exmouth seafront in its present unspoilt natural form. The proposed design will have a significant impact upon the seafront. It is a development that is out of character for the area. It will have a significant impact upon the vista, not only looking along the seafront, both towards Orcombe Point and the World Heritage Centre, but also looking towards the Halton Hills. Indeed, one of the most impressive views on the entire seafront, that from the Mare, looking across the estuary towards Dawlish, will be seriously obstructed by this development. The ramp that will run over the seawall will have to be a large and obstructive structure, as it will have to cope with the unstable nature of the beach, as the level of the beach changes throughout the year. At the moment, the beach is very low. Also, how long will this ramp be? Will it extend to beyond the high water mark? How will this development affect access to the beach? Will the public have their movements restricted in this area? Will access to the beach be restricted by all the kite surfers moving their equipment? What will happen when the much promised international water sports events take place? Will the public be denied any access to the beach then? This is a red flag beach. Risk assessments promised by Glendale only provide a safety net in legal terms. How will safety be enforced on the beach to protect water users? Will such safety measures impede the public's access to the beach? This is also a risky development in terms of environmental issues. The recent contamination of Tynemouth Beach by silt removed from Exmouth Docks and dumped in a recognised dumping site shows how unpredictable and unstable the local environment can be. There are growing concerns nationally and locally about bird numbers on the Exe, as well as the effects of litter and plastic. Finally, what happens to this site if the community interest company fails to thrive and is wound up? The restaurant trade is going through a bad time, locally and nationally. In view of the comments in the media this weekend about the government's views on the housing crisis, how can we be certain that this site will not be used as an exclusive residential area in the future? Thank you.
Thank you. Can I ask now Mr. Gordon Hodgson, please?
And look at the plans on the screen if they are available, because it was this block. First of all, there are currently two half round seating refuges on the seaward side of the prom, which in these plans are lost as they are shown converted into positions for stepped access to the beach. These are popular and valuable places from which to safely view the sea and beach, which are level with the prom. I wasn't trying to explain that, but hopefully so you look at those things. Thank you. I recommend that Grenadier are required to form separate stepped access through the wall in a manner similar to the way that the ramp is to be formed, and hence retain these basic seats. But the, another matter, the single vehicle pull-in on the road should be reconsidered. This is not a Grenadier issue, but as it does cater for safety for vehicles travelling in either direction. Pedestrian routes from the rear public car park are awkward and not aligned with crossings and do not provide straightforward access to the beach. This is particularly relevant to those with boards and sails. They should be reconsidered and altered. You need to look at the plans. The height and length of the main restaurant building is such that it significantly interferes with the vista and view along the front. In planning terms, it's deemed harmful and detrimental to the attraction and treasured openness of this part of the seafront. I suggest that before any decision is made on this matter, that the applicant is obliged to erect profiles which represent the height and length of the main obstruction, that's the restaurant and cafe. This need not be elaborate or onerous. I think that a lot of people, as well as councillors, would appreciate the chance to see the impact that these structures will make before the harm is done. Grenadier have adjusted slightly the distance back from the rear of the promenade to the front of the building, but this does not materially reduce the loss of vista and view. In the approved reserve matters application, the building line is roughly the front of the existing beach huts. That's 5 to 6 metres further back from the now proposed front building line. Grenadier said that without a restaurant cafe, the scheme is not viable and wouldn't generate income sufficient to repay them the building costs. East Devon District Council have never produced a business case, and despite being asked for the details of the deal with Grenadier, they have repeatedly found excuses not to do so. How many restaurants can realistically work here? The Harbour View is very near and intended to be enlarged and go up market, and the ocean also near is trying again to make a success of its prime location with at least two restaurants, and that's without considering the impact on other parts of the town.
Thank you. Members, this is planning application 18/0376 Major 4, car park off Queen's Drive. Construction of new water sports centre, including various facilities for water sports users, a cafe, restaurant and retail, plus car parking and open space, together with associated infrastructure, including new stepped and ramped access to the beach and landscaping. Can I ask any members if they have any declaration of interest, pecuniary interest or personal interest, and any dispensations I need? Councillor Geoff Traill.
Personal, I'm on the Exmouth Regeneration Board.
Thank you. Councillor Tim Dumper?
Yeah, the same thing as Councillor Troyer. Plus, I'm also now newly elected district councillor. This is an application associated with that, so I think I should keep going interest.
Thank you. Councillor Bill Nash?
Yes, Chairman. On this application, 180376, Major Foal. Yes, I'm a district councillor, but I'm the ward councillor for Littleham, and of personal interest, I live there near this particular application.
Thank you. Councillor Cherry Nicholas?
I'm a East Devon district councillor as well.
Thank you.
So
Councillor Maddy Chapman?
I'm an East Devon district councillor as well.
Thank you. I'll now ask the Town Clerk if she will read the comments from statutory consultees that we've received and also the views, summarise the views of representations. Thank you.
Councillors Mark Williamson and Bruce Desarum support the application. Highways have no objection. The Contaminated Land Officer does not anticipate any issues. The Environment Agency, no objection. Natural England supports the application. Environmental Health recommends two conditions, any plant or ducting to be installed before first use, and a construction environment management plan be submitted and approved prior to construction. There were 9 comments on the EDDC portal this afternoon, 7 objections and 2 supporting. Objections are largely on the grounds that it's an unsafe area for swimming and will mislead holiday makers to think it's a safe area. Also that the proposed building is too high, thereby spoiling and blocking views. Concern about loss of amenity. The proposal gives ownership of the access points to this part of a public beach to Grenadier and compromises this part of the beach as a public space in the long term. Concern that permission will be granted for the beach frontage and its access will be closed off for private use, with the subsequent loss of amenity and enjoyment for local residents and visitors. Concern about congestion between the ramps and the seawall, creating a potential hazard for wheelchair users, etc. Loss of car parking space will result in visitors having to use the new car park to the north, necessitating crossing the road. And the proposal will attract more people, causing traffic issues for residents and visitors alike. There were 2 supporting comments. One, the need for a water sports centre, facilities, jobs and boosting of tourism and the local economy. The new architecture and landscaping will enhance the seafront. The proposed location for the centre is where most of the water sports take place. Beginners could learn basic land-based kite skills on the mare, getting out on sandbars opposite the centre, or when quiet in the swimming area to learn water-based skills and progressing to learning to surf on water. Intermediate and advanced surfers use the channel directly in front of the proposed location, and the proposed location is the best available space at the seafront for Exmouth Water Sports Centre.
Councillor Bill Nash.
Thank you, Chairman. Talking about this application, I think with respect and fairness to the long list of objections read out and also the objections put by Nick Gawain and Gordon Hodgson as well, may I just spend a minute dealing with those? I feel a lot of these are misled, these objections. For example, that it's not a safe swimming area. No, it's not a safe swimming area. That's why kite surfers and windsurfers use it at the moment. It is a no swimming area. It's dangerous for swimming. And there's red flags there, it's patrolled, there are signs, and it will remain a no swimming area. In fact, we wouldn't want people tearing around in kayaks, canoes, kite surfers, windsurfers, in amongst swimmers. So therefore, it's the right area to have this particular kite surfing water sports area. As far as, and it is a very good point, the steps coming down and also the ramp. It's shown very strangely as red lines on one of the thick, massive plans. That is purely, yes, you can see it on that. Can you go back one, please?
The proposed?
Yeah, well, you know, just, Someone has said, does this mean that no longer does the beach belong to the public? No, it's not true. It's purely just indicating the area where building will be taking place on the right there, the slipway, which will not go any further than the steps. It's not like a slipway going down to the high water mark. And the two steps as well, which in fact improves the access for the public from the promenade down to the beach. At the moment, they either climb over the wall or climb down one of the wrought iron temporary stepways. In fact, it will be easier for the public because it's going to be very wide, this promenade, pedestrian promenade, for the public to access the beach. Anyway, there's just sort of two or three things that I felt I should say, particularly the red flag, the unsafe bit. It's determined to be there for that reason. It's not a swimming area. And indeed, the comment that, is it safe for novices? Well, no, it's probably not safe for novices, but at the moment, novices don't learn there. They go to other places, the duck pond and so on, to get their skills. It's rather like you wouldn't let a child who's never played or a young person tennis before onto a premier tennis court to play. So, what are we looking at with this application? The majority of people in Exmouth are actually supporting this application for a water sports centre in this location. The majority of people, I say that again. Now, there's been extensive public consultation, more than's probably been seen with any other application in this town. Indeed, 1,330 people attended at three different consultations, and those consultations weren't just a few pictures stuck on the wall, consultations with the architects, the directors of the company, with a lot of information and answers being given. And indeed, during those three separate public consultations, there were forms, and altogether 346 consultation forms were filled up, asking further questions and making recommendations. Now, the views expressed and the concerns were listened to by Grenadier, with action being taken to alter some of the designs, one of it being placing the whole thing further back so there's more space for cyclists, walkers, etc. on the pedestrian promenade. And there were a bunch of other minor alterations they made, Chairman. So in actual fact, they did listen to the comments from the people. For Exmouth to retain its reputation as a waterfront beach for sports activities, there needs to be a specific control area with modern facilities. There aren't any facilities at the moment. Changing rooms, obviously proper car parking, showers, storage of equipment, and of course somewhere where people, if they want to, eat and drink, food and beverages. The Grenadier development, which will pass on to Exmouth, will be a locally owned asset. We don't know the length of time that will take, but it's quite open and transparent if you want to look and see what the propositions are. A number of years, but we don't know how many. The asset will make a very significant contribution to the visitor economy, this asset, not only now immediately, but particularly in the future, and it will grow, and grow with more and more people coming to Exmouth. I mentioned the pedestrian promenade in the past. It's enhanced with good space for free play. That's quite important. As you see, the large green area to the left of the buildings is all a free play area, which is a benefit, an asset which children and people don't have at the moment. And that free play is for people who are not necessarily kite surfing, windsurfing, canoeing, or actually out on the water, families, children of the families, or people that actually enjoy watching people out kite surfing. So, in summary, there's many seaside towns, Chairman, that would grab this outstanding opportunity to have this development for themselves. Exmouth is fortunate to have it coming to Exmouth. On that basis, Madam Chairman, I propose approval.
Thank you. Councillor Nash has proposed for acceptance and approval of this application. Have I a seconder, please? Councillor Geoff Chow.
Yes, just quick to go over. 1,330 consultations local plus Exmouth Town Council, actually over 28 hours, individual councillor has actually put those physical hours in here and also at Knoll to ensure that Exmouth does have modern facilities and activities for the benefit of all. This project will provide extra employment and finance to the town as a whole, not just the seafront, but also for the other businesses within the town. And it's a water sports centre. It's not a kite surfers centre. It's for canoeists, it's for the rowing club, it's also for the surfers, the kite surfers, and also the lifesavers and the lifesavers competition, which we've had here on a regular basis. On top of that, we also have the beach rugby that happened a couple of years ago, and also beach volleyball. So what this committee is trying to do is, instead of opening up Exmouth from Easter until September, we're trying to open up Exmouth at least 11 months of the year. And hopefully, by opening up the 11 months of the year, the other facilities that we have in the town, i.e. the toilets and that, can be opened a lot longer. With regards to restaurants, yes, we do have quite a few cafes in the cafe quarter, but down the seafront we have three pubs and one restaurant, which has been noted prior, and a couple of cafes, all down one end. We need something at the other end. Yes, there is going to be something at Walking Point, but where the majority of people will be going, we do need to have some form of refreshments. So that was the reason why I would also second Councillor Nash's application.
Thank you. Councillor Fred Cagill.
Thank you, Chairman. I'd just like to make a couple of comments. First comment I'd like to make is that Water Sports Centre in Exmouth is nothing new. It's been there before. For those of people that remember Shelley Beach and the Port of Cabins that were down at on the River Estuary, there was a Water Sports Centre. What it was a Port of Cabin which held the equipment inside the Port of Cabin, the wetsuits and equipment and so on and so forth, and it's run by Jim Shapter and Staff Rousel. So, this is not a new entity to Exmouth. It's just a different approach to it. Now, I think we also need to look at the fact that kite surfing is a relatively new sport. Even though it's been around a few years, it's still a relatively new sport. I remember in the early days when Pete Manfield brought windsurfing to Exmouth, and it evolved to what it actually became before kite surfing actually virtually took over the windsurfing sport in Exmouth. And kite surfing in Exmouth, I think, has gone on in leaps and bounds. It's actually created a very good infrastructure of that particular water sport and does bring money to the local economy. That said, whilst I welcome the Water Sports Centre, and I think we need to look forward with the sport of kite surfing, because we've got a lot of professional people that could actually go on a long way in that particular sport. I do question the validity of a cafe and a restaurant actually financing the building. Once again, I think my colleagues have said about cafes and restaurants, in the cafe quarter in the town, we're losing two cafes already, and they're up for sale. So cafes selling coffee don't seem to sort of cut the mustard anymore. Restaurants, we've got other restaurants in the area, and I fail to see why we actually need another cafe restaurant and retail. So it's almost becoming a shopping mall rather than a water sports centre. I do support a water sports centre. I don't necessarily support cafe restaurants and retail in that particular location.
Thank you. Councillor Brian Toy.
Needless to say, old Toy's got a bit of a negative view on this one. What have we got here? We're supposed to be, this is our much vaunted World Heritage International Fantasy advertised modern 21st century water sports centre. And what have we got? A load of sheds. I can't find anything architecturally attractive about a shed. And we've got loads of them. And Grenadier claim that these are architecturally attractive. I don't get that for a moment. I'd like to see something a bit more innovative, some design that's a specific special to Exmouth rather than what we've got here at the moment. One wonders about it, the beauty of the sheds. Does it comply? There is a policy, Eastern policy, about the seafront, about buildings have to be in harmony with what's there already. I would say, as a planning objection, I would say this is not in keeping with the area, and one could use that as a planning objection. So that's where I go with the sheds. Is it going to be entirely a water sports centre or not? The clues lie in the application, doesn't it? Restaurant, retail, cafe, makes you wonder. If there's a problem with the developing it, expanding it, and Grenadier eventually sell the lease on, commercial outfits might be very interested in this and do a lot of commercial development, so that's a possibility. We're digging up a valuable car park to provide, to accommodate them. And what are we doing? There was a big environmental document of about 60-odd pages about getting rid of the asphalt. So that's all got to be got rid of. And the brilliant idea is we'll build the same thing round the corner. What a waste of money. But there we go. That's what East Devon has decided. I still don't think it's a good location for the danger point of view. I mean, Fred has addressed a lot of questions Bill have addressed a lot of questions about danger, but people, ordinary beach users standing on the beach, watching people piling into the sea at that point, might well be encouraged to do the same. So I would say as a planning application, it might encourage dangerous use of the seafront. I mean, this is the most dangerous part of the seafront there is. Kite surfers like to do it when it's blowing a hoolie, when it's probably even more dangerous. So I think one could point that out as a danger prospect, possibly of encouraging other beach users to use the beach dangerously. The other question that's not been addressed is that novice boat users here must not enter the water at that point. There is no logistics about how they do enter the water there. Do you go humping your surfboard or your dinghy or your whatever down the beach to the west, to the east, humping them over the sea groins to get to a safe place on the sea or not? That seems to be, I should doubt very much, you'll certainly be tempted to enter the sea at that point. So on those sort of points, I'm not very happy about, I'm not against water centres, but not in this particular place. Thank you.
Councillor Maddie Chapman.
Thank you. This idea, we must remember, came from the public. And the public said we needed a water sports centre. This is the area that the water sports centres that use kites, boards go, because it's the main part of the beach where the swimmers don't go. Therefore, it is ideal. I disagree with Brian. I think I like the idea that it looks like beach huts from the front.
God.
I think it, well, sorry, I didn't say God to you. It, to my way of thinking, it fits in very well with the lifeboat station, as it's wood. Grenadier have had consultations, they have listened, and I personally think having a cafe restaurant there is a brilliant idea, because I think if they have competitions and things like that, Wood Ocean or Harbour View really like people in wetsuits covered in sand and seaweed traipsing through their restaurant and dropping it all over the floor, etc. If they have a cafe downstairs, which they are responsible for, all the sand and debris that they bring in from the beach, etc., is contained in that area, not spread in other cafes. Yes, I think it's a good idea. Moving the road, I think, is brilliant. The car park we've got there at the moment is a nightmare. You need wellied boots to get through it when it's been raining. And we need proper access to the bowling green and our marvellous cricket club, and the lads are doing really well, I'm pleased to hear. So, no, I am in favour of this. I think it is good for Exmouth. It will bring people in. The life-saving competitions we've had on the beach, they love it. They think Exmouth is absolutely brilliant. And the more people that come down, that we invite down, it's not a big iconic building. No, we don't want that on the seafront. It's a water sports centre. Retail, yes, they can buy their boards there, they can buy their wetsuits there. They can keep all their sand in their cafe and in the restaurant, and if we want to go in there, we're perfectly entitled to. The children are perfectly entitled to have picnics on the grass area and go further down along the steps, past the red flag and swim, and they can watch the kite surfers. Prices will vary, so any child that wants a birthday present of going out on a board with a registered instructor will be able to do that. I think it's a great idea. From all the emails and comments from the Brixington Improvement Residents Group, they dared the councillors in Brixington to vote against it. No, I am for it, and I think we should support it, and we should gird ourselves up and get ready to come together and all work together and get phase three as we want it to be. Thank you, Chairman.
Councillor Rob Masting.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I'm concerned about the management of this facility. A community interest company, as it's been mentioned, and as far as I know, no one's shown any interest in this at the moment. So if this development does get passed, the council may need to be proactive in promoting
the who's managing the actual water sports centre is not a planning consideration.
Okay.
It's only the actual building of we're talking to about today. And the various questions that have been raised, but the actual management of the building, because that's not known at the moment, is not a planning consideration.
Thank you, Chair. Okay, I'll move on to my other point. I do acknowledge that towns around us, Tynwth and Seaton, etc., have got their own unique selling points. They differ to differentiate themselves. I do feel that Exmouth needs to have something to offer as well. And I know it's a shame to spoil some aspects of the seafront, but it could be a lot worse than this, and I think this will go some way into helping put Exmouth on the map and keeping us in business. So I will support this application. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Duncan.
Thank you, Chair. There's various aspects of this, some of which have been mentioned already, that do concern me, and one or two questions I would like to ask. In previous meetings when we've discussed this, Councillor Fred Cagle next door to me here has often raised the issue of the safety, and that has been raised tonight by Brian as well. I had hoped, because I'd heard from council officers at East Devon District Council, that these safety concerns were going to be addressed by Grenadier. When I actually looked through the detail, I may be wrong, I may have not seen it, but I did look through to see what the attempts to mitigate any unsafety, if you like, about this application were, but I didn't see them, so maybe somebody can answer me on that. I'm also concerned by the access issues, and those have been raised by our two speakers behind. I mean, I do think that right in the middle of the beach front, something like this, where you have got constant movement of people across with large and unwieldy equipment, etc., will actually destroy the overall operation of the promenade and the way the seafront works. So I'm concerned about that. I'm also concerned because I know what Maddie, you have said about your members of your public up there saying, but I, having just fought a by-election when we did survey work, we did actually find that the majority of people didn't particularly favour a water sports centre. Now, I accept that's not a scientific survey and all the rest of it, but we did get quite a lot of response, and I do feel that people in town more generally weren't all that sympathetic towards that kind of centre. The other question I'd like to ask actually is of Councillor Geoff Traill, who was expanding the scope of this water sports centre. Now I'm not sure, you know, whether the rowing club and the other activities you mentioned were in fact included in this centre. So
it's a water sports centre.
Yeah, not sure how far it goes. And I mean, I know because I've got a friend who sails, and he asked on many occasions which water sports is it serving, and didn't actually get any response on a broad basis. The other thing I'd like to say, and this isn't really exactly a planning consideration, but it addresses one of the consultees' feedback, i.e. Natural England. I was completely shocked, and people who have read the application more thoroughly than I have may feel the same. When I read the Natural England report, it sounded less like something which was involved with Natural England and more like something which was an economic development report saying how good it would be for Exmouth's economy. And I thought that was way out of their remit to talk about that. Anyway, I've gone on as long as I need to. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you. I would just, you asked about the safety. They obviously have put three pages in there. Response to feedback concerning the concern the safety, and confirming that obviously East Devon District Council would be responsible for risk assessments, etc. But obviously I know no more than that. Councillor Geoff Traill.
Just to respond to Councillor Dunphy's questions. You've got the gym club, the rowing club. They're out there most weekends. I go down and watch them. We've also got, like I say, the life saving, which is the beach. They will also be using those facilities that are there. Yes, there is the kite surfing and the normal surfing. Mm-hmm. And I would probably think there'll be bodyboarding there as well. So as far as sailing, there is an area for sailing because that's what we've got down the marina. Obviously up there, I don't think you'd be able to say in there. So we've got that down that way. So I hope I've answered that question.
Thank you,
Councillor Fred Cagill.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman, for allowing me just to respond to Councillor Dunphy about some of the safety aspects that we highlighted. At the presentation by Grenadier at the Ocean, I did highlight to the representatives from Grenadier, and I asked a question about the Adventurous Activities Licensing Act and who would be responsible for holding the licence. Now, they gave me a very solid reply that whoever
water sport activities for a group of people, they would obviously have the necessary safety licences in place. That is something that came into being following the Lyme Bay canoe tragedy of many years ago, where people lost their lives. Now, that said, if anybody is undertaking water sport activity off their own remit, i.e. as an individual, then they are responsible for their own risk assessment and their own safety. So it's only in a club or training environment that the organisers are responsible for the trainees, as it were. Just wanted to clarify that.
Organised.
Thank you for that clarification, Councillor Cahill. Councillor Bill Nash.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, just to follow on from Councillor Cahill, I had a similar answer to I asked the same question of Brigadier. They will have their own lifecrafts there. And as at the moment, if a group of kite surfers go out, they usually have a dinghy or a rig rather, escorting, either take motor pole sands often if they want to go further afield. But the management, people organising things at this water sports centre will be responsible and have that. In addition, you've got the RNLI lifeguards there patrolling out by the beach, and you've got their tower there. You've also got the National Coast Watch Institution, which does more, frankly, for looking after kite surfers than probably any other organisation, because they have a better view and can contact the emergency services when necessary. Finally, Chair, could we just look at a picture, please, of the actual building itself? Is it possible to get one up on there? I'm envious, actually, of Councillor Toy. If you think that looks like a shed, you must have some beautiful sheds in your garden. I love a shed like that. This is an aesthetically architect designed building to match on, along with the lifeboat station that would use on ocean. I don't call it a shed, you would say.
I think beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
I agree on that one.
Okay, thank you, members. I think everybody's had an opportunity to speak on this application, so unless there's any final point, I'm now going to call for the recorded vote. Okay, I'll ask the town clerk, we'll read out the name of the councillor, and I'll ask you the proposal by Councillor Nash and seconded by Geoff Trail was approval of the application. So those who agree with that, I would ask to say for, and obviously those otherwise say against. Thank you.
Councillor Fred Cahill.
For.
Councillor Tim Dumper.
Against.
Councillor Rob Masding.
For.
Councillor Brian Toy.
Against.
Councillor Bill Nash.
For.
Councillor Cherry Nicholas.
For.
Councillor Maddie Chapman.
For.
Councillor Geoff Trail.
For.
Councillor Lynn Elson.
For.
Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4. 7 in favour and 2 against.
That's therefore approved. Thank you, councillors. I now move on to the rest of the agenda. If members of the public wish to leave. Thank you. Held on the 19th of February 2018 have been circulated. Is it your wish I sign them as a true record of the last meeting?
Yes.
Thank you. Declarations and pecuniary interest and dispensations of any other applications being on the agenda tonight. Councillor Maddie Chapman.
Licensing.
Thank you. Councillor Cherry Nicholas.
Licensing.
Councillor Bill Nash.
18, I believe, 0187, I believe, full. Community College, I have relatives to work with.
I must also declare an interest in the same application as my sister as a governor at Head Community College. There are no matters of urgent business, so I'll move on to the planning applications. Firstly, Brixington Ward, application 18, oblique 03324, 50 Green Park Road, construction of a two-storey side extension. Highways did not wish to comment, but we've had one representation, which I'll ask the town clerk to summarise for you.
There's one representation, an objection on the grounds that the proposed extension would be overbearing, overshadow and a visual intrusion, and that the extension would be right up to the neighbour's boundary, 2.6 metres from their kitchen and landing windows. They're concerned also about access for future maintenance and the foundations affecting the stability of their own property and drive.
Thank you. Councillor Nicholas.
We went up around this afternoon, and we've come to the same conclusion that it should be overbearing on the plot and taking it right up to the boundary. There would be extreme difficulties because that's the only way that you can get around to that other than through their house.
Thank you.
So I'd say.
Thank you. Councillor Chapman.
Thank you, Joan. Yes. When you see it on the map, it looks all right. When you're actually there, the house next door on the side where they want to build the extension is 3 metres up the driveway. So you're going to have one driveway 3 metres up and the other one is going to be quite low. You can just see it in that first picture. So to do an extension there, I think it would be overdevelopment on that part of the site. And I would have problems with the retaining and access to both driveways because they would have to build a wall and therefore they wouldn't be able to park there because, you know, the ground's up here somewhere. I don't think there's room and it's over development, it's out of keeping with the road. Everyone else is semi-detached and hasn't got an extension on, so no, I think it's a bit overdevelopment there. They're trying to squeeze it in and I don't think it will fit. So,
thank you.
Objection.
Thank you. So it's been proposed and seconded for refusal on the basis that it's overbearing, that it's out of keeping with the area and also concerns regarding access to both properties. All those in favour of refusal? Any against? Thank you. Next application is 18, oblique 03574, 81 Parkside Drive. Proposed single-storey extension to rear, alterations to front porch. Highways do not wish to comment and we've had no representations. Councillor Nicholas?
Could I have a try having a look at it with the map? And you can't see it because it's at the rear. But I think it's taking up most of the back garden. From what I could see.
So have we got the location? We haven't got a location.
Because they've already got something out of the back.
Mm-hmm.
No. No, sorry.
No, so no, unfortunately we've not got a location plan. Oh, here we go.
Here we go.
Right. So we've got a fair amount of space at the rear. Is it the rear? Is it front?
Yeah, but if there's
front porch, proposed single story.
Porch.
Yeah, but it's got a single story rear.
Yeah.
But it looks like next door's got one as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I don't think
all
it's
right.
Because it looks as if there's sufficient space that it wouldn't be interfering with the
and it wasn't very
rear property.
Yeah, yeah.
I obviously need
small house. I refuse to comment.
So proposed for approval, Councillor Chapman.
No, I think it's fine, Jim.
Okay. Proposed and seconded for approval. All those in favour? Any against? Thank you. Next application is 18, oblique 0422 full, the Gables, Marley Road. Construction of single-storey rear extension and balcony. Highways do not wish to comment and we've had no representations. Councillor Chapman.
Here we go. Yes, we were out there today, toddling around in the rain.
In the rain.
The problem we have got with this one is we cannot give permission for this because they have a soak-away next-door sewerage system. They already have extensions put on this building, so they have a lot of runoff water as well. We now, we went and saw the next door neighbours who have objected and asked to see us, and the environmental health people are now in their neighbours because the runoff and overflow from the sewerage, although it's not foul water, the sewerage soakaway is not coping very well at the moment. And so there's like a stream running through next door's garden. If they go ahead with this extension, they are going to have to take down a fairly large ash tree, which means there'll be more water around. And we don't think planning permission can be given without the environmental health people saying that their runoff water and their sewerage soakaway system is working correctly. So we are a bit concerned about this, and also the neighbours are concerned with the balcony. They want quite a large balcony, and we said that we would say that we would ask that if DMC do put it through, that the balcony either side has frost side panels to protect the people in the gables' privacy as well as their neighbours. But we would recommend waiting for environmental health to sort out the soakaway sewerage system first before any more building is done on that property, because obviously you're going to get more runoff into the garden, and it's not coping at the moment, so any more would be detrimental to the area.
Bearing in mind that the limit date is the 14th of March, so you wouldn't going to be in a position to defer, would you, in principle, are you accepting subject to environmental health? You know, if you have a positive answer, or if environmental health do, because we can't really defer subject to, because we're going to be out of the time limit. And I know Ron's in the past has tried to extend the date and hasn't been in a position to.
There is nothing here to say. What I don't want to do is to say, in principle, if they put frosted glass on the balcony.
No, I was talking about the environmental health.
If environmental health say that they can sort the water out, I would have no problem. But environmental health at the moment, there's a stream running through next door's garden, which comes from the soakaway sewerage system. So I don't honestly see how we can possibly agree to more runoff water when we have this problem.
No, all I'm clarifying is that, are you saying you want to refuse this application? What I can't do is defer, because what you were suggesting in your reference was to say, you know, didn't want to make a decision until we'd had an answer from environmental health.
Well,
you can't defer it because of the time limit. So you're saying refusal.
We'll refuse it for those reasons.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Councillor Nicholas.
When we were talking to the people in Perry Cross, they hadn't realised that it was coming up tonight, because we haven't long had the notices, and he's going away in 2 days, so it was total panic stations. But he took us down there, and he said that the next door neighbours don't want to talk to them, and they got environmental health involved, but apparently there's a stalemate.
I mean, it really is.
We walk all the way around there, and it's like a river.
Yeah, I don't dispute that. Councillor Dumper and I had the same issue with a house in Marley Road that was backing onto Barrowdale, which we had the same problem with sewerage and actually a soakaway, didn't we? With three houses that were going in. And we were unsuccessful, actually, in being able to get, I think Councillor Dumper was too, unsuccessful in getting South West Water to.
The house that we went into They have actually got a sewerage tank. And a lot of the properties up around Brixington, up around Marley, they've got either the septic tanks or the soakaways, but it seems, you know, with the springs, you know, coming down from the common, that the soakaways, you know, it's a bit...
If they're not properly built.
I mean, this is similar to the one we have for the road.
It is exactly the same issue,
isn't it? Yeah. Councillor Toy.
I mean, have the Environmental Agency and South West Water been consulting?
Yeah, they're there.
They're always...
Yeah, and they're working on
it. They've not objected to it.
No, so they very often don't...
Over the top of the experts, is the whole question.
Yeah.
I mean, I think if it's obviously a proposal and seconder to refuse on the basis that, obviously, concerning the sewerage and the... And we can actually say that environmental health need to, obviously, be on there. But I think we also... You need to say the second part of that, which is the balcony.
Yeah.
And the fact that it would be overlooking and that you would... ask for frosted sides, should DMC...
Well, I mean, there's privacy
should
both,
DMC
both. Yeah, should DMC,
yeah.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, obviously, do we need a tree officer's report because of the ash?
No, Stuart apparently has been round there because the gardens are so long at the back.
That
one of the trees actually came down in the storm. Stuart's been round and he's trimming this, that and everything else. But the ash tree is not, we're told, has not got GBL on it. They've checked that one.
So, proposed and seconded for refusal. All those in favour? Any against? Thank you. Now we've on to application. Now we've got three applications here which are actually similar. The representations are slightly different on each one, aren't they?
Because the bill...
I mean, some of the representations are similar. I don't know if you're happy that I take all three.
Yeah.
I'll take all three, and then if there's a slight change in representations, I'm sure the town clerk will just read out a particular aspect. Because they're all similar, and they're all 18 of the 0031 PDQ, 18 00046 PDQ, and then the third one is 18 0049 PDQ. This is buildings 1, 2, and 3 to the west of White Oaks Marley Drive. Prior approval for proposed change of use of agricultural building to former dwelling and associated operational under Class Q, A, and B. They're both the same. It is on the basis, it's permitted development basically, that's what PDQ is that it's not a planning application. The presumption is that this development can proceed without requiring planning permission unless we object on grounds of transport and highways impact, noise impact, contamination risks on site, flooding risks on the site, and or whether the location or siting of the building makes it otherwise impractical or undesirable for the building to change to a dwelling, and or the design or external appearance of the building. And as I say, that's the same for building 1, 2, and 3. We've had representations on all three, which are very similar, except for the first one, I think. But perhaps the town clerk will just summarise for me.
First and third of the second.
Yeah.
So in respect of the first application, the representation is that the stables are not agricultural buildings. They were last used over 25 years ago by horses used for social, domestic and leisure activities. These horses were not heavy horses used for agricultural locomotion, so the stables do not qualify under Class Q, A and B. Agricultural buildings have to be able to be converted to use as a dwelling. Without a hard floor and foundations, these stables would actually have to be rebuilt or replaced and structural elements added. This is not allowed under Class Q, A and B. So the representation is that the access proposed is not suitable, that the siting is close to the boundary of the property and not suitable, and that any design staying within the height and footprint of the stables is not suitable. On building 2, similar representations regarding the nature of the agricultural building. but also that it's an open-sided six-post steel barn that's been used for agriculture historically. And in respect of building three, a similar comment that the buildings are not agricultural buildings. They were last used over 25 years ago by horses, and similar comments to building one.
Thank you. So just to reiterate that the three items that are on all three are: the access proposed is not suitable, the siting close to the boundary of the property is not suitable, and any design staying within the height and footprint of the stables is not suitable. But I think the other councillors have other issues they wish to add. So Councillor Chapman or Councillor Middles?
Well, to say these are agricultural buildings, I think, is swinging it a bit. The stables look like...
they call it the hay barn.
Yeah, yes. They're basically wooden huts that have seen better days, that don't have solid ground floors, and they were used for ponies, I just surmise. So, you know, you wouldn't be able to put a door and a window and re-roof them. It would have to be a complete re-job. Okay. The other one, number two, the corrugated one, has galvanised roof in sheets, which is one side that is open is as high as floor to ceiling here. But both sides are only half structured in, so it's basically where they stored the hay. To keep the worst of the rain off. And the other stables, exactly the same. They're not really agricultural buildings, they're just buildings that have been used over a period of time. And no, you can't just go in and do them. You'd have to knock down and start again. So they're not really suitable for conversions. Bearing in mind, this is the land. There's also ponds and streams. And this is where we turned down the application. There's TPOs all over the trees, all the way around, because this is the land where they took down the 100-year-old oak without permission and caused absolute uproar in Brixington. The land is very, very boggy from the underground springs. One of the springs that goes through this land actually goes down to King's, and King's has got a well there, which is where the town council get our bowsers filled up free of charge from King's because it's an underground spring. And there's a number of springs on the land. This is why the previous planning application, when they wanted to build houses up there, was turned down. It's quite boggy, but it does have rare animals living there. It's got the bats, it's got everything there. Apart from pulling out the refusals on the grounds we had last time, this is it. I think what they're trying to do is tell you these are agricultural buildings and therefore, you know, they can turn them into houses. No, I don't think so. Jerry?
I don't think I'm
allowed
to
that.
Councillor Cahill.
Well, thank you, Chairman. Yeah, just need a bit of clarification here actually on this application, and I think Maggie answered one of my questions. But what I can't quite get my head around, if this is permitted development, why is it coming to this meeting? Because to me, you know, if it's already got permitted development rights...
No, it's not a planning application because there is a certain amount of agricultural buildings under planning guidance and the national policy framework, although it might change today. But is that you can convert agricultural buildings of a certain type into private dwellings. The one we had in Halsden was the one that was down Cortlands Lane, which both Councillor Duncan and I actually disputed that because it hadn't been used, but it had been used as stables. And that's a similar thing. So it's also subject to prior approval being sought in respect of the transport highways impact, which you have here, the noise, contamination, flood risks. So it is subject to those things that I read out. So basically, whoever made the representation obviously has a very wide knowledge of actually about agricultural buildings, because we certainly have this with the other one, the other criteria, but also obviously what Councillor Chapman has added is about the underground streams and the underground springs, which obviously makes, in my view, a flood risk, so we can comment on that. There's also the bats and the habitat and the rare creatures and the animals, which is what we've done before, and the environmental issues, which isn't actually included in this, but it's, you know, we're making issues that are actually impractical to say that that can proceed. So therefore, we're saying that we don't agree with it being automatically.
But when is an agricultural building not an agricultural building? You know, if it is an agricultural.
Well, I think it depends. I mean, it's certainly on the time it's been an agricultural building, and it's actually the nature of the use, which is what we had a long in depth of discussion about the one that we had at Holston, because that one was actually had been in use a lot. Well, not that long ago, before it was changed into a building. But there are, but the reasons, there was also where it was situated, and we had a long discussion with East Devon on that one, and basically because of where it was situated, and it was actually a stables with a floor, with a roof, with a, not like this shippen that we've got here, where we've just got the roof, which is like an agricultural building. So this is a very different, that this is not really a stable, you know, like we've had some that have been liveries that have been transferred, but they're actually buildings that you can just convert. They're not ones that you'd have to demolish and start again. But this is why whoever made this representation has obviously got a far in-depth view of what Q, what class Q is than I have, or my knowledge is. But that's the background to it. So it's presumed it can be developed because of what the planning guidance is under the national policy framework, but there are these caveats on it, and what we're saying is we oppose it because we've got these, we're not happy with certain aspects.
And this is the same applicant that applied for those many houses.
Councillor Chapman's just going to come back, I think.
Thank you.
There is not a brick nor a stone around. And no concrete. So I would say that they're not agricultural building, although they have been used as, it's not like a barn conversion, like on the farm, you know, they would turn the pig house and everything else, and you know, there's, it's brick built, and you've got all new roofs and everything like this.
Yeah.
No, this is a demolish and start again job.
But it's also the other issues attached to it, and I mean certainly the corrugate, because I went to look at these as well, I mean as you know, and certainly the galvanised steel is just really it's a hay barn.
Yeah.
Isn't it? It's what you'd stack hay in.
Councillor Toy.
In 1990 I've been frozen to death when I was actually a district councillor on the planning committee. We looked at this site and we thought the owner was hanging onto this as a ransom strip to thwart further developments beyond it. But at that time, it was considered quite good because it was protecting the environment.
Yeah.
So I think that reason is still valid.
Chairman, we can always say that, you know, I mean, we can turn it down, but I know DMC have got big ears and they are around at the moment. Maybe they would like to go and have a look with their wedding boots on. Has he gone wrong?
Yeah. I think he came for a particular reason. I mean, I think obviously we've proposed and seconded an objection on the basis of the various, actually the items that the representation has been made, but also we can add to that the flood risk and the streams and also the habitat and the rare creatures.
I think
we can add all that to it.
And
to
the
make
lakes
that
are on there as well. And the lake is there as well,
yeah.
And access.
And the access will be difficult as well, actually.
Having
gone there,
it's
the
access.
In the rain, access in the rain is very difficult. Thank you, members. All those in favour of their objection as stated. Thank you. Next application is 18, the 0414 Full, 82 Winston Road, construction of single storey side extension. No comments from statutory consultees and no representations. Councillor Nicholas or Councillor Chapman, please.
I think this one should be okay from what I could see on the map, and when we went by, you know, when we went have a look at it, it's not really. They've got to end up with most of their garden at the front, but they've still got quite a piece at the back, and they're not overlooking anybody else.
No, I don't think it's anything to worry about.
Okay. So proposed and seconded for approval. All those in favour? Against them? Thank you. Next application moved to Holston Ward. Application 18, oblique 0330 Full, 369 Exeter Road. Proposal is a two-storey side extension, hip to gable extension and dormer window and single storey rear extension. We have no representations and no comments from statutory consultees. Highways do not wish to comment. Councillor Tim Dumper?
I've been very busy this week, Chair, and I haven't been seeing all these applications.
No.
I know, it's disgraceful that they're in. Having looked at the plans and everything, I didn't see a problem with it, but Councillor Fred Cagill was
no. I've got no objection. Councillor Cagill?
I've got no objection, thank you, Chairman.
Okay, so proposed and seconded. No objection. Are those in favour? Any against? No. Thank you. Next application is 18, oblique 0358 Full, 10 Essington Close. Extension to rear and side, including extension to roof area to provide loft conversion. Highways do not wish to comment. We've had no representations. Councillor Cagill.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, I was contacted by constituents that live in Willow Avenue to the rear of Essington Close. And laid back on to number 8 and number 10. Their garden in the main backs onto number 8, so 10 is just slightly to the right. Now, number 8, there was a little bit of going backwards and forwards with that planning application, and in fact they were allowed to build extra as permitted development. Number 10, this application here, 03584, it's even bigger than the planning application that was given at number 8. So I've looked at the site, I've looked at the drawings, and I feel that it's a bigger application than the one next door, and I think it is an overdevelopment of the area.
Thank you. I'll concur with that. I have looked at both because number 8 is recently had a planning application with a similar, but their footprint is smaller than this number 10. And actually, I agree with you, it's overbearing for the site. Councillor Dummer, do you want to make a comment on this one?
I will concur with you.
So, proposed and seconded for refusal on the basis it's overbearing and overdevelopment of the site. All those in favour? Any against? Thank you. Next application is 18-0187 Full, Exmouth Community College. Retention of existing temporary relocatable double classroom building. There are no representations and no comments from statutory consultees. I personally don't see a problem with this. This is just a retention of an existing classroom. And until they've had any further development on the site, which they are hoping to do, I don't think we've got, you know, they need the classrooms. So I'm happy to propose approval.
Second.
So proposed and seconded for approval. All those in favour? Thank you. Next application is 17-3014, listed building consent for Aleron, Summer Lane. installation of liner and stainless steel flue into an existing chimney, including additional cowl and extractor fan to the kitchen, the amended plan and additional information to show correct number of chimney pots in the correct chimney.
I think where I feel
which is very useful that we have the right chimney. The town council at the meeting on the 5th of February, we had no objection. We haven't heard from Historic England, that's still pending comment, so subject to Historic England and a listed building consent officer, I would propose, as I did last time, that I have no objection to this.
I'll second that.
Thank you. Yeah. Propose and seconded for approval. All those in favour? Any against? No. Thank
Chairman,
you.
Chairman, yes. Can I just say that the listed building officer still got to give approval?
Yes.
Or subject to. Or subject to.
And same with Historic England.
The problem might be, and whether we need to draw attention to it, I don't know, but on this sort of property, and then these older properties, where you see the chimney stack and you've got chimneys on top, most of them are fed from a bedroom or a different fireplace under the floors. Unfortunately, years ago, 100 years ago plus, all of them were open. They weren't directly up to one chimney pot. And the reason that a lot of older buildings now are not allowed to have any form of pipe going up, whether it's solid fuel, certainly gas, is that you can get carbon monoxide going around all the chimney, all the chimneys and down into various rooms. It is a point that if they're putting up, does it mean they're putting a flue right the way through to that particular chimney pot to exclude any danger of others?
They're putting a liner in.
I mean, I know, I think it was really to do with problems that they had with the chimneys, actually, at Alaron. Thank you. Next application is 18-04264, 36 Elmfield Crescent. Single-storey rear extension and internal alterations. Highways do not wish to comment, and we've had no representations. I haven't got a problem with this one, having looked at it. So, proposed and seconded for approval. All those in favour?
One out of four is not bad, is it?
Not bad, no. We've dealt with the NAD. So the next application is 18-02524, 10 Old Fields, construction of front extension. We do have one representation, which I'll ask the town clerk to summarise for you.
There's one objection on the grounds that the proposal would adversely affect the character of the area and would be overdevelopment of the small site. Concern about the loss of light into their front room, and they consider the proposal to be overbearing and out of scale.
Thank you. Councillor Bill Nash.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, if one looks at the before and after on the front elevation, where this new wing, front extension as it's called, is going on. There is a problem on the top right hand corner there. You'll see the front elevation proposed. Now it just looks like two wings at the moment. If you go back, the one on the wing on the right isn't there. And being, yes, there, you look at the top right picture there. Being two-dimensional, we see if it's three-dimensional, it comes out a long way. It's the whole width of the house. If this is put up, it would destroy light impact onto the houses running nearby. And I think that letter of objection you read out was probably from number three Regency Crescent. And it would affect three houses in Regency Crescent. It's 15 metres and it would block out the light at ground and first floor, blocking the windows. It's certainly over development of the site where this house of bungalow number 10 Oldfield sits, and I would move for objection.
Thank you. In your consideration, is it also out of keeping with the area being
yes,
one of the objections that
I've been down here. The alteration to the front elevation is too prominent, is out of character with the rest of the old building.
Thank you. So I'm happy to second. So proposed and seconded for refusal on the basis of overdevelopment and overbearing on adjoining property and an out of character with the area. All those in favour? Anybody against? Thank you. Now move to Town Ward, application 18/03774 for Henrietta Place. Extension to second floor above existing building and extension to basement. There are no comments from statutory consultee or representations. Councillor Masting.
Thank you, Chair. The building fronts onto the police station, and it appears that changes will not increase the building's footprints. I think the property may be within the conservation area, I'm not sure. In which case that may need to take into account, otherwise I'm happy to propose acceptance.
I don't think so, but no. I'm not sure, not certain.
I don't think so, but we'll clarify that one. So proposing approval, yeah?
Yes.
A seconder, please, is there a seconder? Thank you. Proposed and seconded for proposed and seconded for approval, subject to the conservation officer if that applies. All those in favour? Yes, thank you. Next application is 18/03744, 20 Camperdown Terrace. Construction of front facing dormer window and rear facing dormer window with balcony. Highways do not wish to comment, and we have no representations. Councillor Masting.
Yes, thank you, Chair. This is quite a big proposal. The property backs onto Camperdown Creek. There is to be a small dormer window on the front, with a bedroom and a smaller dressing room built into the roof. Many properties on the street already have such windows on the front, and the one opposite has an enormous construction through facing the street. In this proposal, they're proposing a very large dormer window on the rear with balconies, first and second floor levels, facing the creek. The balcony already exists at the first floor level. I feel that the proposed dormer at the rear substantially detracts from the roofline of the terrace facing the creek at the back. The shared roof with number 22, I'm surprised that they haven't objected. However, there are large workshops in the gardens of both 20 and 22 servicing the boating creek, the community of the creek. Yeah, in balance, I support the proposal, but will not be surprised if neighbours have objections or that the councillors feel it's overdevelopment. If it wasn't for the large workshops at the back, I would have objected to it, but it's almost as commercial premises.
Yes, it was.
Okay.
Chair,
Councillor Nash.
May I just ask on the balcony, why, what's the intention of having this large balcony over the junkyard and a dried up smelly pond?
You've got a lovely room of view.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
fair enough. Yeah.
We can see how it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I'm happy to say. Proposed and seconded for approval. All those in favour? Against? Now move to Liverpool and Riley Ward. Application 18/02814, 23A Drakes Avenue. Construction of single storey rear and side extension. We have highway do not wish to comment, and just one small neutral comment. No objection in principle, subject to no drainage guttering on their side of the wall. Councillor Toy.
Yeah, when you look at the floor plan, it looks as though one's taken up quite a lot of space. This is a plot that's already been subdivided, and you think, you know, there's quite a lot of space involved in this, but the area at the back, mainly where it happens, is a small patio. I mean, it's done to accommodate a seriously old person, so but you can't use that as an excuse anyway, can you?
No.
So I would guess that probably 30 to 35% of the site has actually got construction on it at the moment. So that might add about another 5%. Mm-hmm. Now, I've seen
plots where it's been more development than that. So I don't think one can use the overdevelopment argument. That the rear of it is actually the dividing wall between that and that property. There is no question whatsoever of overlooking. So I'm quite happy to suggest that we approve it.
Can I just...
Councillor Chair?
Does that back on to 27?
Yes, it does, but you can't, because of this, we can't really see it much. It's only first floor, anyway. It's only first floor, so it's not going to overlook anything.
Okay. Yeah, it's a single story rear extension.
Okay.
So, I'm happy to second. So, proposed and seconded for approval. All those in favour? You against? No, thank you. Now, items for consideration. We've got a licensing application.
I remember when I wrote down.
Right, the item for consideration under the licensing is X Wake Barge River X Estuary. X Wake Limited.
Do you know what it is?
Nearly all of them. Nearly all of them have got the licenses anyway.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I can't see why they need off sales license. I think it's only used for consumption by the people that have took on the boat.
I don't know.
I presume it's. I don't know.
Chairman, if I can offer help there, because it's a crime. I have seen it when people there have said, that's a nice bottle of wine, maybe there's some good wines. Can I buy a bottle or a couple of bottles? And I think if that's been happening, someone said, well, you're on the license.
Mm.
And that's probably why they're saying off.
I mean, I'm not sure whether this is the River Cafe because
no,
it doesn't.
I think it's the wakeboarding barge.
Yeah.
It's a cruising thing.
It's the wakeboarding.
So
there's another barge that's moored out in the estuary, which is used as a station from which the wakeboarders launch. And I think this application relates to the wakeboarding barge, not the River X Cafe.
Sorry. So why the application for a license? You're doing water sports, aren't you? Not selling beer.
I'm afraid I've got no comment to make because I don't know any more than is written on this information. I mean, if you needn't make a comment if you don't wish to. I mean, it's I don't know. I mean, I've got no more information that is here, and certainly when I looked it up and looked up the ordnance survey reference, it's exactly as the town clerk has said it is. As far as I can see, it was the wake barge. It was.
Which?
Yeah.
Can we recommend?
So I haven't got. Well, I've got it's no reason, as you know, objections on licensing is extremely difficult because you've got to have certain issues and obviously the police. I mean, I've got no evidence of any antisocial behaviour or any evidence of noise or...
I just wondered whether you could ask the question, why an offline turn off?
Yeah, I'm more than happy to do that. We can say that we've considered it and we can't see the reason for an off... The alcohol consumption on the premises.
That's a consideration. If it's a water sport activity centre, which it certainly is, alcohol and water sports don't mix.
It may be for the spectators.
Well, I don't know that they have lots of spectators going out and standing on the barge.
Yeah. I don't think, to be honest, I don't think any of us have got a wide enough knowledge of this particular application.
So
I mean, if we want further information, I'm happy to get it. Obviously, the date for the it's got to be in.
What's that turned off?
One hopes that the license.
Usually, we have a date that we have to give our observations in. But I mean, if we see what the date is, and if we can get any further information, I'll do so. But. Because usually we have a date that we have to get the information in. I'll leave that. Okay. Right, let's get the other two back.
So a granting of licence is contrary to water sports safety.
Yeah. The second item is Devon County Council, Albion Hill, no waiting at any time, amendment order reference. Devon County Council proposed under the Road Traffic Regulation Act to introduce a no waiting at any time on Albion Hill. A copy statement and reasons and draft order and plan attached. Has anybody got any comment they wish to make? Councillor Brian Toy.
Well, none of those properties there have any parking facilities anyway. If you start to restrict parking facilities, it's going to make it difficult for the residents. I mean, really, the answer to this is to make Albion Hill a one-way street, isn't it? That's the answer.
Thank you. Councillor Bill Nash.
Yes, I've had representation on this. This is application for WO time, no waiting at all on Albion Hill. Has been put forward direct to county by the people who want to develop the site that was turned down by town and by district as well, because they're insufficient width splay for cars travel coming in and out. Now the people that own the ground to increase the splay have refused to sell it to the developer, so they're stuck with a narrow entrance. So they now have the idea of convincing county to put no waiting on the other side of the road, which I've had a lot of protests from people that live in Albion Hill that they can't park outside their own house on the basis that if there's no traffic there, it's easy to drive in and out. It's a funny one, this, that has gone direct to county without being considered by town or district even. Mm-hmm.
Councillor Geoff Trow.
Okay, this has come up three times now. Basically, those persons who wish to object need to get their objections in as soon as possible. I don't think it will be coming up at the next HATOC, which is on the 16th. But basically, the road is used to go to the shops in Albion Street on a regular basis. Cars turn out of the London Inn car park, and often it's turns uphill, especially when it's oversubscribed in the car park. The road is narrow, and the parked cars act as a traffic calming. Should we remove the parking, it would make the road even more dangerous than it is at the moment.
Yeah.
So that is the suggestion for objections.
Thank you. So do we want to make any comment from this council? Do you want to make to say that we are similar to what Councillor Traill has just said, that we're concerned that it would increase the danger in the road should these lines be removed?
It would increase the speed of the road.
I would just make a suggestion. It could be made one way, that would get rid of all the problems.
Yeah, okay, we'll make that comment as well. Thank you, councillors. Third item on here, which is concerning the amend the above order to allow motor caravans. I wish to defer this item until the next meeting, as the proposed traffic order from Devon County Council have been received and should be considered in conjunction with this particular item. So therefore I would ask if we can defer this and to the next planning meeting so that we do the two together.
Yeah.
Sorry, Chairman, I don't understand what you mean the other.
No, the next, because the proposed traffic order from Devon County Council has only just been received.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore that would be on our next planning meeting to discuss.
Mm-hmm.
So this item here is concerning the motor caravans to park on Imperial Recreation Ground and Mayor Road. Well, it makes sense to discuss that at the same time as we discuss the traffic order from Devon County Council, which is changing the road to do with the sea fund, etc.
It's hardly any time anyway, it's
so
I don't understand.
So you know that when we wrote to Devon County Council, we said that the two amendments, so the amendment to the car parking order at East Devon District Council that affects that stretch of Queen's Drive, needs to be considered in conjunction with the changes of Devon County Council. So both aspects are being consulted on separately, they're both being advertised separately. Their timings were slightly askew, but they are now in alignment. So to the extent that when the campervan TAF wrote to Devon County Council and East Devon District Council responded, it was on the basis that both traffic amendments needed to be considered in conjunction. We think it's prudent that both the traffic orders and the car parking amendment order are considered at the same time by the planning committee. And the time will allow you to do that because they've given an extension to the East Devon District Council part of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Councillor Cahill was first.
Chairman, I just want some clarification. Is that also the same order that is being talked about by the solicitor's letter? That's going to be published in a newspaper that no longer exists.
Yes.
Because the Exmouth Herald doesn't exist
anymore. Well, I think they're probably in the Exmouth Journal.
Yeah. Councillor Toy.
Well, I would suggest that there's, we put some limit on the length of them. I've seen motorbikes moving on with a smart car stacked on the back of it.
Yeah, well, this will be a discussion for the next meeting when we put the item on the agenda, which we will discuss both parts of this, with the East Devon District Council aspect and also the Devon County Council aspect.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll defer that to the next meeting.
Yeah. Nice together.
Yeah.
What an excellent idea.
Yeah. Items for information. As appealed by Mr. Thompson concerning the two-storey extension in 25 Traverses Close, which East Devon District Council refused, and a tree preservation order, an inspective land between Brixington Drive and Cherishwood Avenue, and with the planning decisions, the ones that were differing to ourselves, the Sam's Funhouse and St Andrew's Road, where we had no objection, but it's been refused by the MC, or might have been the delegated. Three Caroline Close, where we had an objection, it's been approved. 100 A Sulston Road, where we had no objection, it's been refused. And 3 Salesdown Road, where we objected, and it's been approved. I have had a number of residents contact me concerning the avenue's design statement and that whether we ought to have a conversation with East Devon District Council, because a number of these applications where we've refused and they've approved is where it's not in line with the avenue's design statement. So it might be worth perhaps we have a conversation with East Devon District Council to exactly ask what their position is, because if it's every single one, they're not looking at the avenue's design statement, then really it's not going to be helpful to us to make a particular comment. But there will obviously, the other item I just have is to say that, as members will know, there's been an announcement today concerning planning and concerning the revised national policy framework, policy guidance and planning guidance. Obviously that will come through at a certain stage. I've already had queries from members of the public who heard it today concerning, oh, that's great, we'll build two stories up. That isn't quite how it is because there is caveats on it. So I think we're obviously, as soon as I'm aware and I have full details and we have full details, if it's necessary to do any training, we'll make sure that that is held, and we'll make sure that East Devon District Council give us a briefing on the new policy guidance. So with that,
Chairman, Nash. Differences, no objection, refusal. Is it possible when this is sent out that in the town hall we do receive the reasons why they differ to what we have suggested?
Can we have a copy of them sent?
Well, normally Ron sends a copy of the decision notice to the councillors that it affects. Well, that's what used to happen then. I apologise for that, because Ron's used to send out a copy of the decision notice for the applications that were appropriate for particular councillors.
We don't get a decision notice anymore, so you have to actually go and look.
Well, I think she used to download the copy from the website. She used to download it from the website and then send it to the specific councillor. So the Holston councillors got only the Holston ones, but which differed, so that you could actually see what the reasons that it had been approved. And and if we had any specific queries, we can always go back to planning, which we have done before, and we've asked for a particular issue where we felt that it's setting a precedent.
John?
Yeah.
Could I ask that on the Avenues to Design Statement, when we sent a letter from this council, sort of querying that, I take it would go to planning, that it also goes to the chairman of DMC.
Yeah.
So, because he probably isn't aware it actually exists, because if it's not been brought up, he wouldn't know anything about it.
No, okay. My concern is actually getting a response. I know that Ron's has issued a number, so Cody has actually contacted planning on a number of issues. I'm not sure that we've had replies to the ones that we sent, or we resent, concerning the plans, because at the last meeting we had plans from the same architect, as we had already complained that we can't see the plans online, and we hadn't had a response to two emails that we've actually sent.
Okay.
And that is concerning, because it is the same architect each time, that we can't read his plans.
Okay.
Right, I must close. Sorry.
Yeah, because when I was on the district council was when this design statement for the avenues was actually produced, and it was mostly initiated by the Residents Association. So I think if we can get any discussions going on it, I think we really need to include the residents or representatives from the residents, and to see, obviously, it's going to have to be amended.
Well, it's partly that, Councillor Todd, but also the fact that with the neighbourhood plan, we must ensure that, you know, the wishes of the residents are within the neighbourhood plan and it will conjunct.
John.
So, I wish to close the meeting, if I may.
Yeah. Can I just come in quickly? Bill, Cherry and I were at scrutiny when we had to go at planning on all this. Can I suggest that when we send any comment planning, that we copy in Chairman of DMC and either the Chief Exec or someone else, because everyone else says, oh, we're not aware there's a problem in planning. So planning isn't telling anyone that they're receiving.
Okay. Yeah, I'm happy to do that.
I'll let you go now.
That's all right. No, I just thank everybody for their forbearance, because we've overrun by a fair amount, but I felt it was only right that we held a full discussion just then in the Water Sports Centre, so I apologise at a very late this evening. Thank you.